Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
So fine, I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Double Take. And this is not like movies we've done before. So I have asked my dear friend Mary, capable of handling anything I can throw at her.
Thank you.
And I would not have given this to anyone else but you to help me through it.
Aww.
We rarely do documentaries. But I thought this one, because I've lost three people, and I'd like to talk about them toward the end, recently, to death. It's on Netflix, and it's like 5 years old.
Evelyn was released in 2019, and it follows the story of three siblings and other family members, including mother, father, and a couple of friends of Evelyn, who we find out over the course of their one-month-long hiking to all the locations that Evelyn loved to go to during his life, that he was diagnosed with schizophrenia late in his teens, which is commonly when that illness is diagnosed, and he subsequently commits suicide. For 13 years, this family has suppressed their grief. The main character, if you will, is Orlando von Einsiedel, who's a very successful Academy Award-winning documentary producer in his own right.
I remember the short White Helmets.
White Helmets, which won
yeah.
the Academy Award. He also produced a wonderful film called Virunga. So he's well-established, well-recognized, especially in Britain. His producing partner approached him and asked him, when they were talking about their next projects, would he be willing to turn the camera on himself and his family, because she sensed that they were blocking their grief. And Orlando admitted that he had not spoken his brother's name since he committed suicide. So 13 years have passed. And so we follow them on what they hope will be a cathartic journey for Evelyn and yeah. for their grief for Evelyn.
Yeah, and Gwen, his sister, who is the most lively, I think, of them all, that he has the British upper lip tight. She was onto something, that the males, at least, were carrying on that British tradition of just marching through and not being worried about it, not showing your emotions. And their stiff upper lip.
Stiff upper lip.
Stiff upper
exactly.
lip.
And Orlando's surviving siblings are Gwenny, his sister, and
yes.
Robin, the younger brother.
Yeah.
We also meet Beta, their mother.
Yes.
Who, because of an early divorce, basically raised all four children
yes.
on her own. We do meet the father, Andreas, who we
There's
find
a character.
Out, who
Whoa,
we
Mary.
Find out is German. And we also find out that there are definitely tensions in his relationship with his children and family. We also find out that there's a history of mental illness and suicide in his family that I don't know that his children previously knew.
For nuances in this documentary, I'm so interested in Dad and how he deals with his kids, and mainly with Gwenny. And the moment when he says that Evelyn was the one who could speak German, and when in fact she got the top A listing for her own German. And it was a nice touch to show what happened when they split and the relationship between Dad and the family. And so it's much, much more than suicide here.
There is. There's a lot of tension. There's a very stark scene, because it's on the second leg of the trip that they're joined by their father. The first leg of the trip, their mother joined them. And I found the mother probably to be the most healthy
yes,
in having
she
dealt
was
with
good.
Her grief
yeah.
and being on this journey with her children. The father, there's clearly a lot of tension in their relationships. And after the first segment of them hiking together, they're seated at a diner, and it's literally the children on one side of the table, Andreas on the other with his
this is
now
dad.
Wife.
Andreas, dad.
Andreas is the dad, with
yeah.
his now wife. You could cut the tension with a knife just looking at their body language, the stilted conversation, because
yes.
they're starting to argue about something. And that moment really captured a lot about the dynamic with that aspect of the family.
And yes, and it's not just about suicide.
Not at all.
When you think about your worst Thanksgiving dinner. This is it.
This definitely was it.
So now for me, I found lacking was one that I guess I find lacking in life. That is, we, particularly as Americans, and gosh knows the Brits, are very reserved about talking about death. And then you get to suicide, and it's like...
Well, to talk about mental health, ooh, to talk about suicide, talk about death, it's all very repressed in our society.
Yes.
And I think part of Orlando as a filmmaker wanting to make this film, even though he was in post-production interviews, he admits that this was the hardest film for him to make, even though most of his documentaries are in places of conflict, like White Helmets,
yes,
and like Virunga.
Yeah.
And because this was personal and the camera was going to be turned on him, and he wasn't sure what was going to happen. Oh, and he was even convinced that no one in his family would agree to do this, but they all did. So clearly there was a desire 13 years on to finally open up and start dealing with their grief. For me, what was missing was that cathartic moment where you see some sort of resolution, some sort of blossoming of their lives past Evelyn's death. But to their credit, I mean, this is only a 4-week period. Gwenny, towards the end, is crying and the camera is right in her face, and she's talking about how she had higher hopes for this experience being that cathartic process. So I have to give the filmmakers credit for not letting it be tied up in a nice, neat bow. Oh, and that grief, yes, is a process and that it takes time. I do think this experience triggered moving on in the grieving process, especially because subsequent to the movie's release, Orlando has a son and his middle name is Evelyn. And that probably would not have happened had his grief process not progressed. So I do have to give them credit for that honesty of grief being a process. It's not going to be tied up in a nice, neat plot or cathartic moment bow.
And here's one insight that I had that wasn't really related to death, but it was related rather to filmmaking. Here we have an Oscar-nominated and Oscar-winning director, and he discloses, or his friend, at one point, just actually takes the camera and puts it on him and tells him to go because he hides behind his camera, Orlando does. As the director, all he needs to do is ask questions and let people go, you know, keep going. And he doesn't have to release anything for himself. And I thought that was what a great moment of insight into what it means to be a filmmaker such as he, actually relying on his actors, relying on script, or relying on the circumstances like the family, doesn't have to do anything but make sure his camera's right.
He did. And actually, his longtime cinematographer, Franklin Dow, actually created a mechanism to hide a camera in his own backpack. And then he had a screen in front of him so that he wasn't walking backwards
right
all day long on these hikes, but also so that he became unobtrusive and the camera was unobtrusive. So you see that the family is hiking, you're moving with them, and there's some jumpiness sometimes to the shots. There's some focus going in and out on the faces and the scenery. They're not going to do retakes. This isn't a scripted, yes, documentary. So it's very truthful in that way. It's very raw. And the way that they chose to shoot it and inventing basically this apparatus so that Franklin could shoot it without being obtrusive to what was happening was really quite remarkable.
Well, Mary Arena, we have the documentary called Evelyn, which is in Netflix and,
yes,
available. And Mary, one of the other reasons that I wanted you to be my companion here on our little trip is that you have recently come back from the Camino. I'd like to know if there's any connection you can make between your walk and this walk. Anyway, Mary, what do you recommend for Evelyn?
It's a finely crafted film. The cinematography is beautiful, especially the drone shots of the areas of Great Britain that
right
they go to. But I will say it's probably a limited appeal. It's not going to be for everyone. But if you want to witness the grieving process or have experienced suicide or mental health issues, I think you'll appreciate the presentation of this family's story. And again, it's a slice of life moment in time.
One of the things that you're suggesting is very true. This is really for a sophisticated family to see. You could all go and see it, yeah, but and not everybody's going to appreciate it, particularly because there's no resolution here. This
exactly.
is just the beginning. But if you are interested in how your family might be better at connecting, this might be a good way to start.
And it certainly could inspire family hikes.
Yes. Oh, Mary, in looking at Evelyn, the documentary, which is essentially a hike, a family, four people trying to come to terms with the suicide of the sibling, Evelyn, a 22-year-old. But Mary, beyond this, what I like about the film is how it shows people trying to connect with each other. Do you get any sense of that with your recent hiking in, what, the Camino de Santiago?
So I did hike the Camino Santiago, and my reasons for doing it were very different than this family's. I will say the truth of being on a trail, encountering, whether you're hiking with family or friends or you're encountering strangers, there's a certain sense of openness because you're all committed to doing this together for whatever your reasons are.
And you're freed of any of the ties that you have.
You are. You don't have the quote-unquote baggage of being in your everyday life. And so there's a certain amount of space to breathe and experience. The one thing that I found to be very true as I watched this film is your encounter with total strangers.
Yes.
And you share, you know, why are you here? Why are you doing this? That basic information. And what was interesting was what was captured on this film was the people that they encountered who had experienced suicide in their life. These two strangers took the opportunity to open up. And it was particularly interesting with Orlando because he felt he was the one who was most closed. Gwenny obviously felt he was stiff upper lip.
Yes, right.
British reserved.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we encounter him buying ice cream cones at a roadside stand. The person waiting on him asks, oh, why are you here? What are you doing? And he shares that they are doing this hike to remember their brother who committed suicide. And we learn that this gentleman had a member of his family commit suicide.
Yeah,
and they both open up and start talking about it. And it happens again towards the end of their month-long journey together. I thought that rang very true about security in strangers sharing commonality.
Oh, Mary, you know, I was thinking just for a brief second, what a setup. How many people can you meet who have suicide in their family? Then I realized it's the biggest killer of young men in Great Britain.
Yes.
5,000 a year.
And that is cited at the end of the...
And worldwide is almost a million people.
Yes.
So, Mary, your chances are better than I ever thought that when you open up to somebody on a trail like that, you are going to have more than you ever thought.
Yes.
Who haven't touched them. This documentary just moved me in the ways that you have talked about and in the way that I so wish for, even for my own family, that we could open up even more. And I saw that this is the what little hiking we have done. And I've hiked the Cotswolds. That's my big deal.
Good for you. I've not done that.
Right. But this is the Peak District, which is central England.
Well, they go to different areas. So when you do a Camino, it's a continuous trail.
Right.
This, they actually took transport to go to Scotland and go to the Highlands.
Yes.
And they go to the Lake District.
Yes.
And they go down to the southern coast. And so they take transport between these locations. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
that
it
they're
is.
Not hiking from one point to another in a penultimate.
Well, these are places that Evelyn liked to
yes.
hike.
Yes. So and was... they recreate a lot of the photos that Evelyn, that they had of Evelyn at these locations, which is really sweet and nice to see. And Evelyn is present in the film. It's not just them talking about it. We have images, we have
yes.
video of him, and you see what a engaging
what
young
a sweetheart.
Man he was. Yes.
Mary, there is a note that they read from him at the end. What does that disclose?
Not much. I mean, and that may have been an editorial choice. The film opens with Orlando very quietly opening an envelope that includes the coroner's report and the and it includes a letter that was found
yeah.
on him. At the end, after they've gone through this month's long journey together, he reads the first sentence, and it's to all of the family. Mom, dad, and
right.
siblings. And he opens with, and the only sentence that is read is that he regrets that he didn't finish medical school.
Yeah. Now, Mary, is this a way of telling us why he... Because the big question in all of this, it's never answered, is why somebody commits suicide. Am I to take this as a clue?
I mean, I would have been interested in what the rest of the letter was.
Yes.
We're not told how he committed suicide, only that he left home and did it someplace else. And we're not told the details of where he was found, how he was found, how long it took to find him. Really, that was, felt a little muddled to me. So it doesn't answer those questions. I have two friends, both who have had family members commit suicide, and I don't know if they ever got those nice, clean, clear answers. And so I think it's very reflective of what they, as a family, continue to struggle with.
His schizophrenia.
Well, that certainly was the cause.
Yeah, it was a cause.
I think that was probably more than anything. Dime store psychology clearly was what led him to want to end his own suffering.
It's too easy for me to infer from all of this, well, this is typically uptight Brit. How else are they going to do but commit suicide? And 5,000 of them a year, young men a year. But the film does show is way much more complicated. This family needs more time.
Well, and he had attempted suicide before, and it was pretty shocking early on during the first leg of the trip that you hear the mother, Beta, and her daughter, Gwenny, talking about finding him trying to hang himself and cutting him down. And the brothers, I don't know if they had previous knowledge of that or not, but the reaction is very silent and stark. And even as an audience, I had a few friends over to watch it, one of whom is a healthcare provider and two of whom are hikers. That's why I invited them to watch it with me. And we were all pretty silent because you're like, did I just hear that right? Did they experience that?
Yeah.
You know, what impact did it have on him?
Yeah.
So, on them. So it's unsettling in so many ways to be walking with them literally and hearing their dialogue as they try and cope with the events that led up to Evelyn's suicide and their own grief after.
Yeah, well, I've recently had some losses that everybody else had. For instance, Robert Redford dying at 89. Well, it's time at 89, so nobody's going to question it. Although I think he had exposed himself to some pretty rough climate, and didn't photographs that I had of him late on in a wheelchair weren't at all attractive. But he certainly was one of the most beautiful human beings ever to walk the earth and a great person. So it's easy to accept it at 89, but at 22 is very, very difficult.
Very hard.
Oh, yeah. The other one was a mutual friend of ours, but a very good friend of mine, Linda Boss, recently died.
One of your former guest reviewers.
That's a big loss to me. Linda was a very good friend for 20 years. And she died as I might have expected. She eventually moved into memory care and was a really big loss mentally. And so when she died at 80, it was a loss, but not unexpected.
Well, and my mother had dementia and died in memory care as well. And you hear people die twice. In the case of Linda and my mom, it's a prolonged grief because you grieve the person that they were while they're still here.
Boy, well
and then said. You grieve once they're finally released from this life and physical presence is no longer here either. That's hard. And that's multiple stages of grief.
You said that well. Even though I'm a wordsmith, I find myself in these circumstances to be almost wordless. I find it very difficult. For instance, I'm going to a celebration of the life of Ron Cook, who was a good friend, and besides being an accomplished attorney for Porter Wright, he was also a co-founder of Early Music. There'll be a big to-do, and
with lots of music, I hope.
Oh, with lots. And I've watched it happen. It's here, and he was, I think, around 80, and I've been with him several times, and I've been his companion for times when he could barely walk. So I've watched him decline too. But the way that Jan, his very brilliant wife, is going to celebrate at the United Church in Worthington is something worthwhile. And as soon as we establish our seat in this church, I'm going to go with Barry over to La Chatelaine, where Ron and I went many times.
Oh, very nice.
To have a pastry
in his honor. You know, we have such a complex society. It's a shame that we, in many respects don't deal with death and grief openly and cathartically so that we can move on from it.
I think that we have moved a bit in like the last 20 or 30 years into this very notion of the celebration of life, which seems a bit corny.
But it's so much more positive.
But it is so much more. It is so much more what should be.
Yes.
Celebrating someone's life. Where in the old days when I was growing up, you barely raised your head when you went in, for instance, for the visitation or even in the ceremony itself. And it was so somber. So,
well, we had a year and a half to plan my mother's celebration of life because she died early in the pandemic, not from COVID, but from heart failure. And at 86, she, again, not a surprise.
Yeah.
But because of COVID, we weren't allowed to gather as a family to celebrate her life. We were limited to the number of people, and she had five kids and grandkids and siblings. Well, yeah. And it was like, who do you not invite?
Sure.
So we waited a year and a half and were able to have truly a weekend celebration of her life. And similar to this family, one of the things we did, my mother loved the Cincinnati Reds, and she is thrilled, by the way, that they made it to October baseball this year. We actually, as part of the celebration, went down to a Cincinnati Reds game and celebrated her by going to the game and gathering. So it was a whole weekend of doing things and celebrating her, and it turned out to be a celebration. And for that, I was really grateful. But it, by not being able to go through having a funeral and all of that for so long, our grief, similar to this family's, was prolonged and delayed as a result of circumstances beyond our control. So I related, certainly, not 13 years, but I related to grief delayed.
Suicide presents a whole different problem rather than just a natural death. Again, I'm so appreciative of your being here with me. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but I'm very satisfied with the way it went. We offer no solutions. I think the movie Evelyn shows us that talking about it, death, is far better than suppressing it.
I would agree with that.
And since we're all tied by that notion, we are all going to die, it can't hurt to dissect it, to understand it. And in the case of losing somebody such as Evelyn here, or as your mom, or as Linda or Ron, it can't help but celebrate their lives. What is it? Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee.
Also, you know, he also ended his own life.
And yeah, thank you.
So you come full circle. And I think when a life is lost so young, especially by suicide, I think there's also the gaping void of what that person could have been.
What
beauty they could have brought to life.
So true.
And I think that adds to grief when someone so young has passed on and you think of the potential of what their life on this earth could have been.
And to indulge in cliche again, it makes us think about our own lives, make sure that we make the best of what we have. That getting an abruptly ending a life is sad. And I think for the way you're talking about it is what could have been.
What could have been.
Yeah. And that's as much a part of the tragedy as not. Mary, the film is Evelyn. It's a documentary available on Netflix. What do you advise our audience?
I advise our audience that it's a very well-made documentary, but it's for a select audience in terms of your interest in grief, in suicide, and how a family deals with that. So it's not for everyone, but if you do see it, I think it'll engender a lot of thoughts on your part about how you go through grief and the grief process and how you interact as a family.
Yes, yes. I will end our discussion by a stanza from one of my favorite poems by a famous recluse who apparently understood life and death very, very well. Her poem is Emily Dickinson. The first stanza of her poem about death was, "Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality." And there is a positive quality to this brilliant lady in the way she personifies death and the way she suggests that we're never ready for it. Nobody is ever ready, and suicide especially, we're never ready for it. But I think she wants it to be positive. She said, he kindly stopped for me. We all dread death, but there may be something kindly in the way that we currently celebrate lives to deal with death. But in the end, I don't want to marry. You're way too young and way too brilliant to experience this yet.
Well, I hope it's a little further off in my life for sure, and I hope yours as well.
Right, and for Bob too, not Bob Redford.
I was wondering when my husband would make an appearance. He did not watch this documentary with us.
No, really.
He was watching baseball. But I interestingly, what you say about death and not being ready for it, I will tell you that Bob and I had the privilege of going to a celebration of life for a member of our church, Marion Chard. He died at the age of 104.
He had
lived an incredible life, was an incredible, kind, generous man, served in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
I think he received 9 awards for his service during World War II. He passed in July, and his family gathered to have a celebration of life on Saturday. His minister, who also happened to be his former daughter-in-law, had several conversations with him, and the last conversation she had with him, he actually said he was ready. So I think you can reach points in life where you are ready to meet that carriage of death. And go quietly and peacefully.